You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Well, family and friends, welcome to Digging Deeper on this, the last Saturday in March. And I'm going to be reading tonight from Philippians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 6, where we read, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Well, that song I was singing as we started this evening, many of you know by the name, "You Are My All in All." But what you may not know is who the author of that song was. And the song was written by Natalie Grant, and her desire was to compose a song that contained a God-given message that Jesus Christ is our all in all. The words of her song are some of the most important words and moving words from someone who loves Jesus Christ very deeply. And what's more is that the words of her song, the words that God gave her, express the love that many others, including myself, have for Jesus Christ. And so tonight on this Palm Sunday weekend, let's focus on the fact, friends, that Jesus Christ is our all in all. Would you bow your heads with me tonight in prayer? Oh, Father. Father, how we love you so much, for you sent your Son to come to this earth. He laid aside his deity, Father, that he might come in form as a man, that he might be tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, that he might be the perfect lamb to pay the price for our redemption. Oh, Jesus, how we love you tonight. Thank you for being willing to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And I pray that all of those listening tonight would recognize that God's love is expressed through Jesus Christ. Easter is Jesus. Amen. Well, family and friends, I want to ask you a question tonight as you're listening in and as you're tuning in. I want to ask you, are you heading head over heels in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, it's my hope and prayer is that you are. I want you to begin to know. I hope you can say tonight, I just can't get enough of Jesus. I love him so much. I want to know what the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of his love for me is. I'm so in love with him. Now, family and friends, do you realize there are a whole lot of folk tonight in this world who cannot understand how otherwise normal-looking people could be so head over heels in love with someone who lived over 2,000 years ago? To some, it just doesn't seem reasonable that people could say that Jesus Christ is their all in all. After all, he's no longer here upon this earth. What is it about Jesus that makes people react so strongly? And I'm certain that by this point in your lives, you've witnessed people reacting strongly to Jesus. How is it that we can witness troubled people radically transformed by his amazing grace? Who have you seen or know whose lives have been changed by his amazing grace? Why is the question, what happened to so-and-so, always attributed to God and to Jesus? And without doubt, we've heard testimonies in our lives of folks who have told us it was Jesus. Jesus changed me. We've heard their testimonies. We've witnessed their lives of how God's amazing grace got a hold of them, and God's amazing grace brought some changes. But friend, there's another thing we need to consider. Could you say tonight, I know about those folks' testimonies, but preacher, I want you to know I've got my own testimony. I know what God has done in my life. Could you say tonight, I know God's amazing grace and his work in my own life? I'm thankful to hear the testimonies of all them others. But oh, preacher, I want you to know tonight, I want to testify to what he's done for me. What is it that causes all of this to happen to people we know and people we care for? Well, I want to tell you, friend, on this Palm Sunday weekend, it's a person of Jesus Christ. He's our focus tonight because Easter is all about Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you tonight that Jesus was a real person who actually lived in the Middle East. He was born there, and the circumstances under which he was born are huge. The Word of God tells us that his son was to be virgin-born. The Word of God tells us that the wise man would seek him to worship him. The Word of God tells us that this would infuriate a king by the name of Herod, so much so that Herod would take in order all of the children 2 years old and under to be murdered in an attempt to get rid of Jesus. Family and friends, the Bible teaches that except for a few years in Egypt, after his father Joseph had been warned in a dream that Herod was seeking the child's life to kill him, think about that. Except for just those few years in Egypt, do you realize that Jesus Christ never traveled more than 90 miles from his childhood home? Jesus ministered there, and we should all know the gospel stories of how he healed the sick, how he gave sight to the blind, how he drove out the demons, how he taught great truths that are still being taught today. Family and friends, there's a second thing I want to share with you tonight, and they are the exceptional qualities of Jesus Christ. You see, in his entire 33 years, he never did one thing wrong. Did you catch that? In his entire 33 years, he never did one thing wrong. Can you say that tonight? I can't. Can you say that tonight? You know you can't. We cannot say that about ourselves. Because we've all messed up at some point in our lives. We've all had a wrong thought. We've all spoke a wrong word. We've all done a wrong act. But Jesus Christ never did any of those things. So we can say that about Jesus. Just think about this. Jesus Christ never once sinned. And that's what made him the perfect sacrifice the perfect sacrifice God required, essential to pay our sin debt in full. Listen to me. Jesus Christ healed the sick. Jesus Christ raised the dead. Jesus Christ claimed to be the Son of God, the Messiah, God Himself in the second person of the Trinity here upon planet Earth. And why did Jesus Christ come? He came to seek and to save that which is lost, but more, He came to oppose the whitewashed sepulcher of religion. He came to oppose religious people who are filled with nothing more than self-righteousness and call them to repentance. Because that's what's needed to be acceptable to God. Every man, every mother's son, every mother's daughter, every mother's child has got to come to that point in their life where they're convinced in their mind and convicted in their heart that they have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are in need of God's amazing grace, and the way to receive it is through repentance. Self-righteous people don't believe that. They don't want to accept that. And as you can well imagine, this stirred the hearts of those religious people then, just as it does today. How dare someone claim to be God? To their minds, it was blasphemy of the highest order. And it stirred what is often stirred in the hearts of self-righteous people today, especially when the spirit of conviction comes upon them, it stirred hatred. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes hated Jesus so much that they even got the group of people they hated the most, the Romans, to agree with them to execute Jesus. I tell you, when you hate somebody so much, you'll stop at nothing. You'll even use your enemies in order to get rid of something. So foolish were these Jewish religious leaders that they didn't even recognize their own Messiah, who their own scriptures testified would come the first time as a suffering servant. You realize, beginning in Genesis, in the very first book of the Bible, all of Holy Scriptures testify that Jesus Christ came to give His life as a sacrifice. Think about that. He was born to die, that we who are born to die might live. Jesus was born to die, that we might live. That's what we need to understand. Jesus had done nothing wrong to earn an execution on a cross, on a criminal's cross. And yet our text teaches here tonight, Jesus knew that's why He came. The Bible says again in Philippians 2, verses 6 to 8, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So this real sinless Son of God was killed. He was beaten, the Bible tells us. Jesus Christ felt every lash, every lick, and every stripe of the Roman cat of nine tails that was laid upon Him. Isaiah prophesied of Him that He would be marred more than any other man. I don't know what you might know about a scourging, but the victim was taken and he would be placed over a post. He would be leaned over. His back would be bare. His legs would be bare. You had two Roman lictors, each with a Roman cat of nine tails. Their job was to inflict as much pain on the victim as they could to bring him within an inch of his life. But here's the thing. If they took the victim's life, those lictors would have to take the place of the victim. So we're talking about highly professional men who knew how to do a scourging, to bring a victim to within a breath of life. Jesus, the Bible tells us, was marred more than any other man. That Roman cat of nine tails would have pieces of broken glass and broken bone, and each lictor would take a turn, first one, and then another, and they would lash the victim as the blood poured and the pain increased. Jesus felt every lash, every lick, and every stripe that was laid upon him. What's more, the Bible tells us that the victim would be forced to carry the cross. But we know from the teaching of Scripture that Jesus didn't carry his cross to Calvary because Jesus was not guilty. Therefore, Simon carried it. There is a message in that for us. Only the criminal would carry their cross because they were condemned. Jesus was not a criminal, friend. He was the innocent one, so he did not carry the cross to the hill. Once Simon had laid the cross down, the Roman soldiers quickly took Jesus and began to nail him painfully to the cross. And the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ hung on the cross for 6 hours, bleeding, struggling to breathe, in agonizing pain. He spoke 7 times from the cross, and when he said, "It is finished," then his heart stopped, his breathing stopped, his brain function ceased, and he was dead. His death shocked the few family and friends he had. Joseph of Arimathea begged the body of Jesus, the Bible teaches, and Pilate gave it to him. And Joseph buried him in his own tomb. And all of this took place on Good Friday afternoon. Can I ask you tonight, if you had been there, what would have been your thoughts? Would you have expected him to rise from the dead? His family, his disciples didn't know what to believe. And that's how many are tonight. They just don't know what to believe. They don't know what to make of Jesus. Is it true? Was there really a Jesus? Did Jesus really rise from the dead as Christians claim? Well, I've got a question for you. Why is it so shocking for you to believe that God can do what he says he can do? The Bible teaches on the first day of the week, his family and friends received the shock of their lives. The truth that Jesus Christ rose from the dead continues to shake the world today. Mark tells us in his gospel, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he had risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 6th verse, that after his resurrection from the dead, he appeared to one time to over 500 people. And 50 years ago, friend, he appeared to me. Oh, I haven't seen his face, but I know his presence in my heart, and his spirit lives within me, and his presence is with me at every second, every moment of every day. In fact, his presence is with all of those who believe in Jesus Christ, because Jesus says that where two or three are gathered, there he is in their midst. And so even as I preach tonight, I know that Jesus is with me. This is the joy only a child of God has. It's also the reason why Easter means so much to so many. Easter means that Jesus did indeed rise from the grave just as he said he would. Easter means that Jesus is alive. Jesus is well tonight. It means he is deeply concerned for us. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. His spirit carries forth tonight in the voice of preachers and the voice of Christians who testify of God's amazing grace in their own lives. The second greatest story ever told is the Christian story of how you came to know Jesus Christ. Every time you share your story, the Bible says that you overcome Satan and temptation by your testimony. Jesus Christ came to this earth, friend, to pay a sin debt that you can never pay. Jesus Christ came to redeem you and me. It means that Jesus Christ's resurrection is real, because we know the one who died, he lives again. It means that we can fully trust in all that Jesus said, in all that Jesus did. But even more than that, we can have complete confidence that Jesus will do what he says he will do in the future. His resurrection means that our sin debt has been paid in full. All the sin of our past, think of the debt we owe. All the sin of our past, all the sin of our present, and any future sin has already been paid in full, meaning that we have been washed in his blood. We who have repented of our sin and placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ have been washed. We have been made clean. And we are now acceptable unto God the Father. His resurrection means that for me and for every person, we will live with Jesus Christ and God the Father for all eternity in heaven one day. Just think of that. For me and every Christian person will live with Jesus Christ and God the Father in heaven for all eternity. His resurrection life means that as God's child, we will one day soon lay our eyes on the one who gave so much to save us. His resurrection life means we have the opportunity to serve the living God every single day in the here and now and for all eternity. His resurrection life means he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. His resurrection life means he is our all in all. And without him, no man has anything, and no man's all will ever be enough. Do you realize tonight that for those who have not yet trusted Jesus Christ, his resurrection life means he's been pursuing you all of your life? Do you know him tonight? Have you been running from him all of your life? But tonight you find yourself listening to this telecast. Do you realize who put you in that position, that Jesus Christ is pursuing you, and today, tonight, is the night of salvation for you. My friend, I want to assure you that he knows you, and I am convinced that as long as you have breath in life, he is calling to you. I am convinced that right now, down deep in your heart, you can feel the knock of his call at your door's heart. Your heart is beating. Your heart is pounding tonight because you didn't plan to be a part of this telecast, but God has been pursuing you all of your life. You don't need to remain in a lost, hopeless condition. You don't need to face the judgment of God one day. God loves you. Will you answer him tonight? Will you respond to him tonight? Will you do what I've done, what countless others have done through the ages? Will you repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the resurrected Christ and make him your all in all tonight? Will you pray sincerely from your heart? Would you get on your knees wherever you are? Would you look up to heaven tonight? Would you cry out to Jesus to save you before it's everlasting too late? Friend, I want you to know one day there's a judgment coming. And if you're on the wrong side of the cross, you're going to be on the wrong side of eternity. Jesus Christ lived a life, died for you, was born again, was resurrected, that you could be born again, that you could be a child in the kingdom of God. And if you want to pray to receive Christ tonight, would you pray these words, Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord. Please forgive me for my sins and give me the gift of eternal life through your amazing grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer tonight, I want you to be assured that you are saved. Right now on the screen is a phone number or an address. Will you do what others have already done? Would you let us know of your decision tonight that we can get materials into your hands that will help you in your walk with Christ? Friend, God loves you tonight. I hope on this Palm Sunday weekend that you realize the amazing love that Jesus Christ has for you and that you will respond to him tonight. Father, tonight we pray for all of those souls right now who have humbled themselves, who have sought your face, who have repented and received your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.